This is HICF, a home away from home. A home away from your home country. A home away from your heavenly home. A home where Jesus is Lord and Savior. A home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. In this episode, when you can't understand and no answers. In life there are moments when you can't understand and when there are no answers coming from the one you love and believe he has the power and authority to deliver, to save, to prevent, to restore. Yet, things are getting out of place, spinning out of control. It is all closing on you. The time is ticking. To the hour you must do something. The waiting seems not to be paying. No response, no improvement on the situation. What shall you do? Stay tuned for what to do. Turn with me, if you will, this afternoon to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5. I read to your hearing. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. I read that again. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things, the maker of all things. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for another hour of your word. I submit myself totally to you. Cleanse me, my heart, my lips, with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Use me as your vessel, your messenger to your precious children, holy saints, in the house and to everyone that is listening. Take over, Holy Spirit of God. Let me speak nothing of my own, but that which is from the throne of God. Holy Spirit of God, convict each one of us of the truth, so that we will, after listening today, will heed to what the Father has spoken, to live out what we have received this afternoon to the glory of the Father, the maker of all things, the only true God, the loving God, the kings, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. My sharing will be centered about the topic that is in front of us. When you can't understand and no answers forthcoming. 3 points from where we read. And that will be our introduction. Number one. As you do not know the path of the wind. We recognize the work of meteorologists. They give us the weather forecast. However, we know many a times it has failed. Only God knows it all. Another point in that verse is how the body is formed in the mother's womb. I understand, and we all know science has made great progress in medicine. But still, no any understanding about the spiritualities involved in body formation in the womb of a mother. That is true.
Generally, science believe in what can be seen, what can be touched, what can be measured, what can be reproduced experimentally. It is amazing. Scientists, they don't see the air, but yet they believe it is there. But when it comes to God, they don't want to believe there is God because they can't see God. They cannot experiment on Him. They cannot touch Him. They cannot measure Him. Even though in some countries, some manufacturers who have attempted, you know, to produce or manufacture Jesus. There was that story in one country that a customer came to a factory and he said he wants to produce Jesus. Unfortunately, the manufacturer doesn't understand what Jesus means. He said, well, if you can give us the sample of that Jesus, we can produce exactly like that Jesus and even a better Jesus. Interesting. Yes, science have done a lot. If you look at the technology advancement in medicine and other areas of our lives, the AI technology now, they have increased in knowledge, just as the word of God says. There will be increase in knowledge, but their knowledge, their understanding, and their wisdom is of this world. And no little wonder we see today the chaos that we are in. What this knowledge that is outside God, what this wisdom that is outside God, what this understanding that is outside God, it has left us with millions of questions. What is happening? And no answer is coming. And very unfortunately, even the Christians have joined the world in asking questions like that. What is happening? Despite the fact our Lord and Master Jesus Christ told us everything that will happen. Our knowledge and understanding and wisdom without God have left us with millions of questions. That brings us to the theme of the message. That is right for this hour. I therefore ask you to sit very well and be attentive, because I know you are dealing with such a question in your life, or will be dealing with it later. The theme: when you cannot understand and no answers. When you cannot understand and no answers forthcoming. The word of God says, where we read, as you do not know the part of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Just to refresh our mind. It says what? You cannot understand the work of God. That's the third point in that verse. The first point, the way of the wind, the path of the wind, we don't understand. The way a baby is formed in the mother's womb, that too, we don't understand. And now, this point, you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. What does it really mean that we cannot understand the work of God? Of course, there are things in the Bible that we understand. However, I believe we struggle with issues in our lives as well, despite our spirituality, our strong faith and maturity in the Word of God. Yet there are moments in life when things seem to be falling apart, spinning out of control. That is after you have done all that is right in your eyes and understanding. You waited on the Lord in prayers and in fasting. You stood still. You trusted. Yet, it is worsening. Nothing is changing. And then naturally the question comes, I don't get it. What is happening here? And even sometimes you begin to wonder and doubt if you are forgiven of the past mistakes that you have done, the past sins. You keep on asking, where is God in all this? And nothing in return. No answer at all. I believe I'm speaking to someone here. You have been there before, or you are there now, then this message is for you. And just in case you have not been in that place where you don't understand and no answers are coming to you, let me be very honest with you. As sure as the sun will rise and set in the west, your time is coming. This is not a prophecy, nor am I a prophet of doom. It is just the word of God, word for word. Hallelujah. Let me take a couple of scriptures to emphasize, to underscore about some of these questions that we don't understand and there are no answers coming forth. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 39. See now that I am He, and there is no God beside me. Now listen to this. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Just hold, sit tight. Listen to Exodus chapter 4 verse 11. If you remember the story, similarly here God was frustrated with Moses when he wanted to send him to Egypt, back to the palace to talk to Pharaoh. God was kind of frustrated why Moses is giving excuses. Then the Lord said to Moses, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Wow. In this verse, there are questions that come to mind. The questions of children born with anomalies, disabilities, if you will. Certainly, deep down in your heart, even though you can't see yourself asking God certain questions, but they are in your thoughts. Questions like, why, Lord, did you bring them into this world only to leave them in the hands of these helpless parents to raise them with no hope? Consider the case of Esau and Jacob. Before even they were born, the word of God tells us what? That Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Esau I hated. You see yourself again with those questions? You will have love to ask, Lord, if you don't love Esau, why create him? Just to hate him? You don't understand such things, even though there are explanations about them. You don't understand it at all. That is what it says. You do not understand how God works. His ways are not our ways. How about Hosea? Hosea chapter 1. Hosea, God's prophet. The prophet was asked to go and marry a prostitute. Yes, let it be an allegory or true story. It sure raises questions too. A prophet marrying a prostitute? And more interestingly in that story, God was or God instructed what names to be given to these children. Three children. The second child, a daughter. The meaning of her name that was given to her as Lo Ruhama is not loved. Excuse me for pronouncing that Hebrew name, I don't know. The third child, a son, Lo Ama, Lo Ami, which means not my people. And you remember also the story of Achan. The meaning of his name is troubler. So also Jabez, pain. Can you imagine any mother giving her child a lullaby? Oh, my dear pain, my dear troubler. Oh, not my child. Sleep, my sweet troubler, my sweet pain. Do you understand that? No. You can't understand, you can't imagine any loving mother having a child that she looks at him and say, oh, my pain, oh, my troubler. You are not my own. You are not loved. How can you understand when a loving God watched evil perpetrated against his faithful ones? Yet you know that this God that you serve is powerful, yet nothing is done when that pastor is beheaded, when that wicked individual enters a church and spread bullets on those who are there to worship this God, to pray to this God. And nothing happens. How can God tolerate evil? When evil raped daughters and mothers in front of helpless father, how can you understand that? Even the prophets of old didn't understand it. And some ask, how long? How can you watch this evil, Lord? Brothers and sisters, how can you understand to continue to love your haters? And the more you love them, the more they take advantage of you, the less they love you. Do you understand that? You can't. Does it make sense to you that you are forgiven, but you are still paying the cost of rebellion? Do you understand that? Of course you don't. Look at the God promises of protection. He promised he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Yet physically, it is evident that you have suffered calamities. Doesn't that raise questions what is happening? Do you understand it? Yet no answer. You don't understand why majority of the children of God, the Most High, live from hand to mouth. Yet they preach that their God owns the silver and gold and 1,000 cattle in the field. Yet they don't have enough for their family to eat. While the children of the world live in control of the gold, silver and wealth. Does it make sense? Certainly you don't understand either when you just had sex one time and you are pregnant, while others go free that have done it 100 times. But you are the one that carried the stigma in the society. All eyes on you. Yes, you don't get it at all when you just told a lie that hurts no one, yet you are called a sinner along with him that kills and does those horrendous stuff. We can go on and on with the list. And as far as this flesh is concerned, as far as our common senses matters, it is true. We cannot understand. And likely no answer in this life or in your lifetime. But thank God Almighty, there is another life where we will all understand it by and by. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. for those of you who want to be taking points, now I go to number one point. Dwell on what is given for your understanding and godly living. Dwell on what is given for your understanding and godly living. Yes, while waiting for that time when we will understand it by and by, it is important to understand what God has given us that is understandable and to be obedient to what is understandable. You see, when things are explained, you understand how things work. It reduces the frustration. It reduces asking many questions. When you buy a new product, generally, you have a manual that is given. Instructions are in that manual, how the product will work. In fact, it demands that you read everything in that instruction. Am I speaking to somebody about the Word of God? You don't read the Word of God, which is our manual. And that is why you don't know how to use everything regarding your body. You don't know how to use your reproductive organs. Then later on in life, you have questions. What is happening? And no answers. Your hands, your mouth, your legs. They are all devoted things of God. All that you know for your legs is to go to clubs, play soccer with it. Your legs have never gone to the house of the Lord. I remember an episode here in the church. A student died and his parents flew in. And they visited us here in the church. They came with the picture of this student in a frame, in a beautiful frame. And later on, finding that the son has never been to the church, they only brought his picture in a frame into the church. That is the only time he has been in the church. What a pity. What a pity. Let's go to that point. Things will work out if you follow the instruction, and you are sure to have less questions. Your mind will work with that understanding why things will work and why things will not work. The same attitude should be applied when it comes to the Word of God. It will help us prepare our minds to accept the reality that there are things that we will not understand, and that should be okay. And there are things that we will surely understand. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. I read, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." I read that again. "The secret things belong to the Lord our God." That's the first portion. "But the things revealed belong to us." There are things revealed that belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. There are things for God and there are things for us. Things for us are revealed. And there are things that are not revealed. They are secret to God. The problem with most of us, the things that are revealed are in the Word of God. But we don't read the Word of God. We don't meditate. We don't dwell on the Word of God. As a result, we have questions and questions and no answers in our lives. And these questions are affecting our lives, our faith, and trust in God. Actually, some of the questions ought not to be questions. Can you see someone asking, "How can I deliver myself?" Or somebody saying, "Why can't I marry an unbeliever?" It is not surprising that you have many questions, because you yourself is a question. You don't read the word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Not your culture. Not ungodly music. Not traditions. By hearing only the pure living word of God. No traditions, no rituals. You don't hear the word of God. Therefore, you don't know Him. Even though you claim you know Him and you trust Him. That is head knowledge. In reality, how do you have an intimate relationship? Talk less of listening to somebody when you don't know about Him. Can two work together? Except they agree. Amos 3:3. This agreement is just beyond making a contract. It's talking about relationship. Let me pick one of the devoted things on your body. By the way, everything about your body, it's not your own. You yourself, your totality, and everything on you, including your property outside you, they are devoted things to God. Therefore, if there is anything that is not devoted to God on you or outside you, better do away with it or submit it to God. Your ears are among the devoted things to God. Unfortunately, you are using them to hear other sounds. Listen, let me be honest with you. Every sound carries a message. You have filled your mind and subconscious mind with sounds. Each one of them have a message and will surely influence you and will surely speak to you and will surely influence your thoughts and what you do, what you say. The word of God says, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. Stop listening to other sounds, to other voices. Turn to God and listen to Him. Because you don't listen to Him, invariably you have many questions. But if you listen to Him, you have less questions. Number 2 point. Let's read again. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. From these scriptures, we have our number 2 point. Understand that there are secret things that belong to God. The other point is, there are things revealed to us, but there are secret things that belong to God. And you know what? Better leave the secret things to God. If God desires to reveal them at His own time and place, here on earth or in heaven, leave it to Him. Leave it to Him. By the way, why do you want to understand what is not revealed? That's confusion. It's not yet revealed, but you want to understand what is hidden. It is even disrespectful and dishonoring to try to find out what God has kept secret to Himself. Hold it here for a brief moment. I believe someone will change from today after hearing this. We are admired couples. Even those in relationship. Also close friends are included. But specifically unmarried couples. Many married couples have gotten themselves into sorrow and despair, brokenness of heart, by secretly spying on each other. You heard that voice from the other end of the phone. You saw that text because you have the password of your spouse. And then what? Trouble broke out. Now, I'm in no way encouraging sinful acts in secret. Sin is sin, done in the secret or in the open. And indeed, I encourage transparency. My wife knows my password of everything. And so I. My children too can check. They have used my phone. I have nothing to hide. Why do you go spying? Listening to everything. Don't listen to everything. Some things will not be beneficial for you to hear. It will bring sorrow, trouble, suspicion. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 21 and 22. It says what clearly, don't listen to everything people say. You might hear your own servant saying bad things about you. And you know, the many times you too have said bad things about other people and they will want to hear. Certainly you don't want them to hear. Look, if you are faithful, I want you to listen to this very well. Look, if you are faithful to God, God is watching. And He will bring into the open the secret things done against you at the appropriate time. At the appropriate time, you can handle it. I say it again. Yes, at the appropriate time, you can handle it. When you go spying and hearing those things, trouble will erupt that you cannot handle it at that time because you are not prepared to handle it at that time. But if you wait on God, God who is seeing all that is happening, He will surely deal with it at His time, that He is sure you can handle it. Even though it sounds you're going to be a fool for some time. And again, at the appropriate time, God will convict the unfaithful partner to confess or be exposed to His shame or to judgment. At God's time, He makes all things beautiful. Therefore, I hope I'm speaking to somebody about spying, about eavesdropping. Anyway, back to what is secret to God. Let's read again to refresh our minds. Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. We should honor and respect those secret things that belong to God. I may not be totally wrong to say some of these things that we don't understand and have no answers may be part of God's secret things in our lives for now, until He explains later if He dare wish to do at the right time. Very important. There are going to be issues of not understanding some of the work of God in your life as you continue to grow in faith. Don't give up. Even though you have questions and no answers, there may be the secret things of God for you at that time. Be patient, but as you grow in His mercy, He will choose to reveal them to you. But be sure, God is in the business of revealing His kingdom on earth. His invisible qualities are continuously being made known, so that we will worship Him, we will glorify Him. Certainly there are gray areas in the Word of God, and it is not wise to pin down your finger on these gray areas unless it is given you by the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to what is given for you in order to be a faithful steward. To my fellow ministers, with all respect, to my co-laborers in the vineyard, with all respect, I offer my advice. Sometimes when we read things or are confronted by our congregation with scriptures like this, Isaiah 45 verse 7, where it reads, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all this. I chose King James Version because it's closer to the original text. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Unless the Lord has given you wisdom and understanding, discernment, as to some of these difficult subjects, hard to swallow, hard to understand, we should be careful in explaining God simply because we want to come to His defense. God is able to defend Himself. He's able to defend Himself against critics, against the opposing forces that take things out of context for lack of knowledge to say, God is wicked. Your God is wicked. We should be careful not to add or remove as to who God is or what He's saying. Don't force yourself to explain. Simply say you don't know. If you don't, and His Holy Spirit has given you understanding, with humility, do explain it. As to our congregation, we can simply encourage the brother or sister to pay attention to, trust and obey God on what is made known for our salvation, for our growth in Him, for our faith in Him. We can also pray for them, asking the Holy Spirit of God to take over. He's the one that can teach. He's the one that can convict the truth to them. Amen. Hallelujah. So in rounding up this number 2 point, understanding that there are secret things that belong to God. Yes, while on one hand we cannot understand some of the negative things happening around us, let us on the other hand consider a few examples in the Word of God that can encourage, inspire us to continue to hold on even though there is no understanding, no any forthcoming answer. First and most important of these is God's love towards us. Consider the miracle and mystery of salvation alone. God, who is sovereign over all, He is the only one who speaks and it comes to pass at all times. Now there are other people that speak, it comes to pass, but not all the time. But only Him. He determines the end from the beginning. One who nothing is impossible with. He is the only one who forgives sin. Now when man sinned in the garden, God has 1,000 ways to deal with the matter of salvation, but yet chose to offer His only Son who has no sin. Is that fair to Jesus? A sacrificial lamb. He made Him a sacrificial lamb for our redemption. He killed Him so that we could live. Why did the King of Kings, the Almighty God, choose to submit Himself through the person of Jesus Christ into the hands of those He created? Only to be ridiculed, to be despised, dishonored, whipped, mocked, called names, to suffer the most humiliating and excruciating death on the cross. Does it make sense why God has to go through all this when He has the power? By His word, everything comes to stand. By His word, He creates everything. He could have wiped us all and nobody will hold Him to account, and create a new creation that will obey Him always. He could have done it. You remember what He told Moses? He said, let me wipe them all and begin a new one. Can you understand the working of God in this mystery of salvation? Well, we may never fully understand the mystery of salvation, but that should not stop us from accepting it, from believing it. Hallelujah. Thank God there is no requirement that you have to understand the mystery of salvation before you are saved. All you and I need to do is to believe. Yes, I'm so thankful. I am saved from eternal condemnation. Now I'm a child of God, and so you too. The working of God sometimes is beyond our understanding, but that should not nullify and set it aside as if it will not work. Psalms 23. It was believed to be written by King David when he was running for his life from his own son Absalom. What a humiliation, the king on the run from his own son. He was in hunger, in thirst, and exhaustion. It was in this dire condition that King David wrote this amazing psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Now it is important here to know that David understands the meaning of the word shepherd. He has been a shepherd too. He knew and remembered how he fiercely ran after bears, fight them, and snatch the sheep out of their jaws. He knows how to watch and care for a sheep. Yet in this terrible situation, in this thirst and hunger, he looked at God and said, "You are my faithful shepherd. I shall not be in want." Wow. Wow. May the Lord help us when we are in such needy moments at the 11th hour that we will say, God is able to deliver us. That we will stick with Him. Amen. Does it make sense? When the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, will not bow to worship any other God except Jehovah Almighty, against the fact that they will be thrown into the fiery furnace, heated 7 times, if only they will bow, they will maintain their positions in the government. But the faithful children, these faithful Hebrew children, refuse the work in the government. They refuse the pleasure at the king's table. It doesn't make sense, does it? In your life, it requires compromise, a little bit compromise here and there, a little bowing to pressure in order to avoid the fiery fire of poverty, lack, humiliation from friends, the fire of disease and disappointment. Just a little compromise here, and you'll be free of them. It does make sense to do that way. It will not make sense why you can't take that job. It pays well, but it gives you what you want, but eventually it's taking you away gradually from God. Is it worth it? What was the result for the Hebrew children? God came into the fire and delivered them. Hallelujah. The decree was passed in the whole land to honor the God of these Hebrew children. And those that planned this wickedness were brought to justice. Finally, does it make sense when Joseph refused the pleasure of sex with the wife of his master? And of course, she would have protected him and even probably asked her husband to promote him. But yet he refused, only to face prison. And he could have even faced death if God had not intervened. For a slave to sleep with the master's wife, if he's found, could be stoned to death. Does it make sense? But Joseph refused. He ran away. Run, baby. God will come after you. Joseph ended up being the second in command in Egypt. It is worth to wait on God. Point number three. When you cannot understand, and when there are no answers, what should you do? What should you do is the point here. When you can't understand, and when there are no answers to the burning questions, when you can't understand, and when there are no answers, and time is running out, when you can't understand, and when there are no answers as to why help is not coming to the loved one that is breathing their last breath, especially after doing the best you can. When you can't understand and no answer coming as to the suffering and evil coming upon the innocent one, coming to those who have no voice. The calamities in war zone, children sexually abused, women raped, babies ripped out of pregnant women for rituals, abortion, or hate. When you can't understand and no answers coming after making several honest and sincere efforts, yet it is failing, no change, and time is running out on you. Yes, it is even worse when you can't understand, when there are no answers coming from one who promised you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He promised that no harm will come near you, talk less of harming you. You do not only believe, but you know him. You trust him. You are persuaded beyond reasonable doubt that he is Almighty God. He is Omniscient God, all present and all seeing. He is all powerful. He is authority. He is the God of love. He is love. A simple grammatical interpretation and summary of all this only is that God is God. God is unlimited. He is absolute. He is sovereign over all that he creates. Yes, you stood those times and you even preached this reality. Yet, literally, yet, physically, evidently, as to what the eyes can see, you are losing it. Or you lost it already. The last thing you were holding on is given away or has given up. It is closing on you or it has closed on you. The waiting seems not to be paying. No response, no improvement on the situation. Yes, you can't understand why. Unfortunately, what naturally ensue or follow up more often is confusion, discouragement, withdrawal, anger, resentment against everyone, especially on the one that you trusted. And in this case, for us believers, it's our God. You hoped in him. You know that he has the power, and not only the power, the capability and willingness to deliver, to save, to prevent, to restore. And yet, help from this Mount Zion seems not forthcoming. All is silent as a grave, and time is ticking. Certainly, only the strong-hearted can stand. Otherwise, confusion, discouragement, disappointment, withdrawal, anger and resentment against God sets in. While it does appeal and does make sense to react that way, yes, it is understandable that a sinking man will grasp at anything in order to avoid drowning. However, that does not make it right before God. That is a hard thing to swallow. Yes, as far as you and I are concerned, it doesn't make sense. You see, God's way are not our ways. Certainly they will not make way. They will not make sense to us. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God has several ways in delivering us. Sometimes he saves right in the fire, just like the case of the Hebrew children that we have talked about. Sometimes it could be through the flood. Sometimes he opens the Red Sea in our lives. Brothers and sisters, the message here, don't limit God. He has a thousand ways to save and bring back life. Sometimes he waits until the body starts rotting before he does what he is good at doing. He's God Almighty. Nothing is impossible. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Yes, because your arithmetic says 1 plus 1 equals 2. But God said 1 plus 1 equals 1. And that amazes you. Even in a complex arithmetic, he says 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. And 3 is equals 1, as in Trinity. Now, simply because it does not add up, that shouldn't set aside the supernatural truth that is true. As I've always said, never deny the physical reality, but never allow the physical reality to overrule or dominate spiritual reality. Rather, let spiritual reality supersede, control the physical reality. Tell yourself, stop limiting God. Hallelujah. Let me quickly take a point here. This message is not in any way anti-intellectualism. It is not against seeking knowledge, understanding, and having wisdom. After all, God gave us the common sense to search what he wants us to know in his word and his creation. God desires us to diligently discover what is in his word so that we can gain knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Christian faith is not an apathetic faith. It's not a brain-drained faith, but a living faith, as William Lane puts it in his book, Hard Questions, Real Answers. It's a living faith. Brother, sister, our faith is a faith that seeks to know God and understand God and his creation. And you know what? As you continue to seek to know him, the more you know him, the more you know you don't know him, but the more you desire to know him. Hallelujah. This message is also encouraging us not to absolutely lean on our intellectuals, but to lean on God wholly, to be wholly immersed in him. That's why it says submit to God, surrender to him everything. Let us not depend on what makes sense to us only. Our calling as followers of God is beyond sense, is beyond feelings, or how it looks like, or how it seems, or even how we understand it. Hebrews 11:6 talks about faith. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith has nothing to do with what makes sense to you. Faith has nothing to do with how you feel or understand it. Faith has nothing to do with how you see it or imagine it. It is very important for us, brothers and sisters, to get this truth rooted right now in our lives, because time is coming, the hour is here, that whatever that you are facing, they will demand you to use your common sense alone. They will demand you to believe in yourself alone or in your feelings. Let only God be true, and all other things lie, including yourself and how you see things, only by faith. It will always boil down to you and your God. It is either your sense is true or God is true. It is either your feeling is true or God is true. It is either what man creates or institute that is true or God is. It is either your circumstances is true or God is. If God be true, then rely on Him. Wait on Him. You can't understand some things, but you can trust in God. Let faith take over. Faith here means trust, obedience in God. The final point, come to terms with the fact of unanswered prayers. Come to terms with the fact of unanswered prayer, so that you don't get stuck in one place. You got to keep moving as the Holy Spirit leads and guides you. Recall Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He prayed for a tongue, giving him the flesh to be removed. But the Lord answered him after he has asked several times. The Lord answered him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know what? The Apostle Paul did not get stuck in the matter or persist in praying after God told him about his request, after God responded about the thorn in his flesh. This is what Paul said. Therefore, this is the decision he made. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. Hear Paul. I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Brothers and sisters, when you can't understand, when answers are not coming, those are your low points. Those are your weak points. Let God give you strength. Let Him. He said He will be your strength in your times of weakness. When you are in that valley, God will come for you. He does not only come to you when you are on the mountain. He is everywhere. Yes, Paul's response is worthy of emulation in our lives when things refuse to go. Radical acceptance of the truth and live with it without resentment. Be a doormat without resentment. Forgive without resentment. It's very important, because most of the time we are doormats, but we grumble. When people despise us, we grumble. Do it without resentment. In my life, there are a number of things I've asked God. He has not answered. Well, let me say yet. Now, I will either continue praying or stop praying on that matter as I am convinced and led by the Holy Spirit. But either way, I have given the enemy a declaration that if God answers or not, I will continue to hold on to Him till I see Him. One of my secret strengths is in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 10, verse 13, where it says, whatever you are facing, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. It's quite encouraging that I'm not the only one facing it. And God is a faithful one. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He has measured you. Anytime you are facing anything, know God has equipped you and prepared you to go through it. Hallelujah. Always remember, there is nothing impossible with God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All His ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice. Righteous and upright He is. You find that in Psalms 18 verse 30. And sure, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can prevail against the Lord or His faithful ones. No one in the invisible or invisible world can stop the purposes of God in your life. Time works for Him, and He will never be late on you. Remember and keep to heart that all His paths are with mercy, in truth, and in love. The psalmist understood it when he said, "Day and night I will stick with God. When otherwise I will keep my eyes on the Lord." Brothers and sisters, stick with God no matter the situation, when there are no answers, when you cannot understand, stick with Him. We have abounded testimony in the Old and New Testament. Those who stuck with Him, He came through for them. Yes, the psalmist continued, "I've got a good thing going." What is the good thing going on you? Salvation. And do not let go. Be happy from the inside out and from the outside in. Be firmly rooted in the Word. Thank God. In that verse 10 of Psalm 16, he says, "Thank you, Lord, you canceled my ticket to hell. Aren't you glad? God snatched us from the jaws of hell, because it is not our destination. The enemy deceived us. But hallelujah, He brought us back, cleansed us, washed us, and put us on a solid foundation, on a solid fortress in His hand. No one can take us out." Today God is asking you, when you don't understand and no answers coming, turn to Him. Will you? Will you stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord? Don't turn to the left or to the right. Don't listen to any other voice. Have faith in Him. Have that living faith, that walking faith, by obeying and trusting. Don't listen to your emotions, your feelings. Don't listen to the circumstances around, even if it is to the point of dying. God is a master in bringing the dead back to life. Pay attention to what is revealed. It is sufficient for your faithful stewardship to God. When God is pleased, He may reveal it. What is happening? Respect what is kept secret. Honor God at His own time. He always makes things beautiful. Pray this prayer with me if you will. Dear Lord, I thank You for reminding me today that You are still sovereign before, now, and always. Forgive me for not waiting on You in those times that I don't understand and no answers are coming forth. Forgive me, Lord, for insisting to know what is secret to You. Help me, Lord, to rely on what is revealed for me and to honor what is secret to You. Today I commit myself to trusting and obeying You to the very end. Give me peace in my heart. Steady me, Lord, in those times when my faith is tested to look for help elsewhere. I pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.